the GM live at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Bolts tonight. And what is, I don't want to say, and what is a matchup of the two reigning President's Trophy winning disappointing teams. But that is the case. And as bad as the heartbreak against Winnipeg was 2 years ago, it cannot be worse than what Tampa Bay went through last year.
First round.
Got swept by Matt Duchene in Columbus in the first round. Hal Gill, presented by Puckett's, joins us here on Jared and the GM. Hal, as I said yesterday to Floyd, Preds win 3-0 on Friday. I got excited about it. Pekka's rested. He's back. He's ready. But just as the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away on Saturday with a 3-0 loss. Why can this team not seem to really get themselves going and get on a run here?
Good question. I think everything they did slipped a little bit on, and they looked really good. I thought, first of all, Pekka looked fantastic. He was dialed in. I think, you know, the time off that he had, he was able to refocus, get back on his game, and he looked awesome. The team looked good around him. And then everything just kind of slipped off after that. And there's a lot of reasons you can look at. First of all, you have Thanksgiving, you fly out, you play a game, you fly to Florida after, and then you get up and play another game, and you're in a building that isn't as loud as you're used to, and it's kind of a dead atmosphere, and it was a boring game, and I feel like they just never had that spark in that game. I don't think they were bad. It just they went, didn't have that extra gear. And so I think that's, it is what it is. And you kind of put that game behind you, come home and try to get a win against Tampa.
What did you make of Peter Laviolette going back to Saros the other night? It seemed a little odd that Pekka Rinne had not missed three games in a row while healthy since 2008, since I was in high school. And Saros wins the two games against St. Louis. Peter stays with him Wednesday night against Vegas. I understand going with the hot hand, but do you really believe that there was not like a that there wasn't something to that had to do with Pekka?
As far as what?
Like his standing or how he was playing at the time or all the above.
You're saying why was Pekka out?
Yes. And was that the right thing to do?
I think Saros looked good and they were just gonna keep going with it. And I think you'd have to be in that coach's room because I'm sure they're kicking it around trying to figure out what's the best way to handle this. You have two good goalies that deserve to play. One came out super hot. The other one wasn't. Then one kind of came around and the other one wasn't. I think it's a lot to do with the way the team plays in front of both of them. And then in the end, it's you got to go with what your gut is as a coach, and you're going to get Van de Klok, the goalie coach, is going to give his 2 cents, and all the coaches are going to sit around and talk about it. That's why Laviolette gets the big money. He's got to make those decisions, and I thought Pex looked great. You have him play, and I think you feel good about it in Carolina. And then Florida, you put Juice in there because it's a back-to-back, the first one of the season, and back-to-backs are tough. It's not easy to play in a back-to-back. It's exhausting.
We, in the offseason, went through kind of a philosophical change. We were going to alter the direction a little bit, be a little bit more aggressive on offense and maybe not great. Are you seeing that in your mind?
We saw it in spades first 10 games. I thought that they
Didn't
came
we?
Out flying oh, and they were something. Buzzing, and then I think there was so much focus on being offensive that the defense, the mentality slipped a little bit. And so they tried to pull it back and be defensive and keep that offense. And then it's a balancing act. And you look around the league, there's a lot of teams doing the same thing, trying to figure out where their team is, who they are, and how they're going to do it. You have to be the biggest thing for me is you have to be together. You have to be in a five-man group. You look at St. Louis, who's hot right now, and they're playing great hockey, and they played great hockey down the stretch last year to win it, and it was because they're a five-man unit. And when you're five men around the puck, you can support it defensively and offensively, and that's how you get going, and that's how you get out of a slump and stay going. And I think that's what they figured out. I think the Preds, you have some guys that want to run. They want to go. They want to get that big goal. They want to do whatever it takes to help the team. And then you have guys that are staying back, and I'm going to lock it down and play defensively and be that defensive stalwart. And, you know, you got to get them on the same page at the same time. And that's what's hard. That's why it's not easy to win in the NHL.
Now, how much harder is that? It is making that change and finding that balance when you've got a couple, you know, you get an Harvey that's hurt,
yeah,
and then you bring in a couple of new guys and you take their, it's like you never catch up.
Yeah,
right?
you never have those same pieces together. That's why, you know, you look at Bonino's line with Smith and with Grimaldi, they work so well together and they feel like they just know where to be, you know. Bonino is always the guy on the forecheck that's a high guy. He's in a good defensive position. If the forecheck doesn't work, he's always back. But as soon as he sees possession in the corner, he goes right to the net. And they know that he's going to the net. They're not worried about who's back there anymore. They're going to the net. And I feel like they jive together. And like you said, you have other guys going to line up and changing. Arvey's out. Arvey's played with Johansson for ever.
Yeah.
You know, they've always been playing together. And so there's an adjustment period there. But that's not an excuse. It's you have to figure that out.
Yeah,
it's just part of the game. You have to figure out what is going to make that line tick for that night. And Laviolette's got to put them in a position that they can go out there and do that. But it is difficult to do that when you're not playing with the same guys.
Hal Gill with us, presented by Puckett's. Hal, what do the Predators need to do if they're going to get on a roll? Is it cementing a lineup? Is it, what is it, do you think, in your mind that this team is kind of lacking? And if they do, they got it, they're in place, and they're ready to go.
Well, first of all, I hate saying this because, no kidding, duh, getting that first goal is huge, and it's been big for them.
Okay, but I will say this, though. They've had leads in a lot of these games, and the two St. Louis games and the Vegas game, I think, are all an example of this, where I felt like the team was hanging on for dear life, hanging on at the end of those games. And it worked the first St. Louis game. It failed them the second game. They won in the shootout. And then it failed them with 0.2 seconds to go in the Vegas game.
Okay, so, what other thoughts do you have?
You want to know one thought about this team I have that's unbelievable?
What else do you have, Jared?
And I know what you're doing, but...
No, I'm curious. What?
Go back.
What's it going to take? What's it going to take for the Preds to win?
Go ahead.
What's it
going
to take for the Preds to win, Jared? I want to know. It's not the first goal because that doesn't matter. You said that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the first goal helps, but Laviolette always talks about how the first goal doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the game.
It doesn't mean you're going to win the game, but it's a pretty good start, right?
Theoretically, yes.
Okay. It dictates the way you can play the game.
It's better than them getting the first goal.
Yes. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
All right. All right. So, you know, there's that. And then I really feel like there's points in the game that they need to step up and they need to realize the urgency. I think in Florida they had that 5-on-3 and they need to get it done. I'm not saying, you're going to have five moments in a game where you need to step it up. There's, you know, you always talk about the beginning of the first part of the first minute of a period, the last minute of a period, killing a big penalty, having a power play. A 5-on-3, I think, is so big that you can step up and get a goal there. And I think that changes the whole game in Florida. And I think we're talking about a different result because you get energy from it. You get so not just the goal, but the energy that comes behind it. And there's key points in the game where momentum shifts and you can either step up and change the momentum or you can keep the momentum going your way. And I think that's where the Preds are having a hard time is stepping up in those big moments. And I think they play consistently well now. They weren't doing that earlier. They were so inconsistent and all over the place. But the last 8 to 10 games, I feel like they found out what their game is. Now they just have to step up in those big spots and get the goal.
Is that an experience thing? Is that a knowledge thing? Is that a...
Well, I look at it. Last year, I felt like they didn't need to worry about those big moments. Everything just kind of happened for them. You know, like they're winning division. Last few years, right? It's just like winning conference, winning division, presence, you know, They're just winning. And so you don't realize how key each moment is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now when you have a little adversity, and this is good. This is good that you're going through this now because it's in there. These guys are big-time players. I think there's guys that can step up. And, Roman Josi does it a lot. He's the guy who steps up, and when you need something to happen, he's the guy who splits through the offensive zone and makes a play, and things start to turn around for the Preds. But they need more of that, big plays at big times.
Hal Gill with us. I cannot believe I'm saying this, but thank God Kyle Turris is back in the lineup. And I'm not one of these people who thinks that it's going to solve like all of the problems the Preds have, but I'm watching some of these guys they've run out there since the Arvidsson injury, and I'm thinking to myself, these guys, Daniel Carr, for example, not to knock Daniel Carr, he's not as good as Kyle Turris. And Kyle Turris has had his struggles and all of that, but it just made no sense for Turris not to be back in the lineup. He's back in the lineup now. Why do you think they gave him that extended benching?
It's a good question. And all they've said is lineup decisions. There's a lot that goes into it. First of all, you have to have – it's not just, hey, we got five linebackers hurt. Let's throw a quarterback back there and let him play linebacker because he's a really good player. like it doesn't work that way. You need to have guys that play specific roles. So I really felt like they were going into games where they needed to be to grind and get to the net, and I feel like Daniel Carr lends himself to be a winger, first of all, that can get to the net. And so they were looking for that. I thought he played well, but it didn't really get it. Didn't really make a splash, and I feel like he needs to make a splash. And so Kyle goes back in, and the hard part is Kyle was playing on a fourth line and a kind of a checking line with Watson and Sissons, great players.
He's not a bottom six player.
He's just not that player. I think he's a player that can make plays off the rush. But the Preds really haven't been that team. Mostly their rush is Ekholm and Josi pushing up through the neutral zone. And so their game doesn't lend themselves to make plays off the rush. So, Kyle's got to find his way. And now it looks like he'll be back at center. And he's playing with good players. And can he go out there and do his thing and create offense? I mean, ultimately, that's what he needs to do. He's not a guy that's going to go and bang bodies on the forecheck. He's a smart player that needs to create offense, and he needs to be able to move. And from the center position, he can do that a little better than he could on the wing. So, it's tough. I've gone through the healthy scratch, and it stinks. It's the worst. And you go to bed, and you can't believe that you're getting scratched, and it's the last thing you think about, and you wake up, and it's the first thing that goes through your mind. I got to get back in the lineup. So now he's got his opportunity to get back in. And I'm sure he's ecstatic and wants to make the best of it.
Oh, yeah, plays better off.
This is going to sound crazy. If he and Laviolette, they both handled it well, especially him. But I'm sure, and Peter said we've had a lot of talks. Have you had those talks with coaches where it's like, Hal, we're scratching you for the foreseeable future right now. We want to go with Johnny Joe. He's more handsome and, a better skater, et cetera. Like, what are those conversations like?
At first, it's infuriating, You go through one game and you go, what's going on? What's the story? And they explain it to you, you need to do this, you need that. And then, it happens again. You go out and practice. You try to do the best you can in practice. And then the next game comes up. And these guys don't practice anyway. There's not enough time. And so it makes it difficult. But then you go up and you say, it's game number two, you say, what's going on? And then it becomes kind of comical. I used to, I did 10 games when I was in Pittsburgh, and it was just the knock on the door, and the coach would go, yeah, I know, all right. And I go, no, you got to tell me again. I need to hear it again. And it becomes like, I don't want to say it becomes normal, but it's like, all right, I'm coming in, and you need to explain it to me again. I've done this in practice. I've done that. I feel better. I'm doing this. My hamstring that you said was bothering me and I don't look right is better now. I need to play. There's a lot of conversations and some of them you're upset and you want to break stuff on their desk and you want to jump over the desk. But, it's part of being a pro you know, the, and then it becomes the walk upstairs and you go to the GM. We got to figure this out, and it's tough. It's a miserable thing. But as a pro, you need to play. You want to play, and you want to go somewhere that you will play if you can't play here. So, you know, I'm happy it didn't go that long with Kyle, and I think Kyle's. You know, I hope he's going to come out and perform and play his game and let it all behind him.
Be better for everybody.
Yeah.
Hal Gill presented by Puckett's. Hal, hopefully next time we see you, as the season of giving approaches, we'll see you with some school supplies for the kids.
Yes. I didn't know. Now I know. I should have brought my number two pencils.
So you guys check on Instagram. We need pencils and dry erase markers. We've also got notebooks and stuff, but pencils and dry erase markers to our offices, 1824 Murfreesboro Pike. Just drop them off there. And then, of course, did you know that $1,100 to Pencil, who Jared and the GM LP Pencil Box we've teamed up with, $1,100 is $100,000 in school supplies for Metro students. So that's just out there. We're trying to raise $1 million in school supplies for Metro students. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I hope you're not a healthy scratch ever, Jared.
Oh, you should have seen me Monday the other day when I wasn't here. I was definitely not a healthy scratch. That I can promise you. Jared the GM coming
Thanks,
up next,
y'all.
Predators
Thanks,
game day. Today during the Predators game, you'll see that Happy Hiller logo right there on the ice. That's because Hiller is a proud supporter of the Nashville Predators. Hiller's actually coming out to my house tomorrow. That's how much I trust them. I use them at my own home. And not only do I like Hiller for their service, but I love Hiller because they care about our community. Hiller is partnering with Toys for Tots to spread the joy of Christmas this year. In addition to a $5,000 donation, Hiller will be donating $100 in toys for each tankless water heater purchase made. And during the promotion, customers will receive an additional $250 off their purchase price to boost those donations of toys with Toys for Tots. Each Hiller location will be partnering with their local Toys for Tots chapter, so get excited about that. Another reason to use Hiller. I've got them coming to my house tomorrow. It is why, one of the many reasons why I love Hiller. They love this community. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.